Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Take your Bible out. Start right there. Psalm 103. Go ahead and get ready. We're going to jump right into God's Word today. You'll notice a familiar passage when we start reading because we just sang it. God is indeed worthy of our blessing because He has blessed us, hasn't He? And so we pray this morning that God's Word would indeed speak to us. We're still in our series in Psalms. We've spent several weeks here in the books, and we've got several more weeks to go. Boy, such richness and greatness in God's Word as we look at some of His attributes as deliverer, as conqueror, as eternal, as creator. Today we will see God as merciful and worthy of our praise. Now, some psalms are addressed to other people. Maybe they're spoken to the righteous or to sinners or to the nation of Israel or to enemies of God even. Today's psalm is actually kind of unique because it is the psalmist speaking to himself. Now, surely I'm the only person in here who talks to themselves, right? Would anybody else raise their hand with me? Thank you. Okay, thank you for being honest. Do you ever have a moment where you just need to tell yourself something, even though you know that you should know it? You say, oh, I got Justin. Why are you believing that again? We have those moments, don't we? And so the psalmist speaks to himself here. Why? Because listen, folks, if we are honest, we realize that at moments of doubt, or as at moments of not understanding why something happens, we can forget who God is. And we can forget His blessings. And we can forget His mercy. And so the psalmist talks to himself to remind himself. And in the great beauty of Scripture, he also reminds us who He is. He's wonderful. He's merciful. And we'll see that today as we read Psalm 103. Together. So if you have your Bible, I invite you to open up there. If you don't, the words will be on the screen here for you. Let's read this together. The intro to this psalm is pretty simple in verse 1. It just says, of David. No weird musical instruments this week or names that I can't pronounce. I'm excited. Of David. I think you've got it. David wrote this song. This is his, okay? Let's read it together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Well, we sang that before, hadn't we? What a great truth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, and the wind passes over and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Let's read this last part together. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May God bless the reading of his word today. It's hard not to read those words and just kind of want to go, I'll stop, because God's word speaks powerfully enough in that for us to say, Lord, yes, you are worthy. We bless your name today. Even as we celebrate the Lord's Supper and as we worship him in song, we are overwhelmed sometimes with God and his mercy and his wonder, his care for us. And yet, why do we have a psalm like this? As I mentioned to you before, because sometimes when we're not in a place like this, and when we're not in a place where we're surrounded by worshipers, we can forget those things, can't we? And we can neglect to remember all of God's attributes and all of his goodness to us. And so the psalmist calls us to this approach to show us that the God of grace, the God of mercy, is unchanging. And the attributes that he has when we stand and worship him in this place are the same attributes that he has when you are in a position when you don't feel like God cares about you. That's a God who is merciful and who is gracious. And so as I was studying through this, I decided, you know, there's a lot of ways that I could present this, and I try to think through each chapter and come up with an outline that would be, I want it to be something that you could take with you, something that would be beneficial and not something that I hope that you could apply and leave here with. And so I read a lot of commentaries, and I look at a lot of outlines of the text, and looking at Psalm 103, I came across one by a guy named James Boyce. And Boyce wrote on this chapter, he did a great job on just simply showing how this chapter answers four questions. Four questions. So today I'm going to, instead of necessarily a point one, two, three, four, we're going to look at four questions that we'll walk straight through the text together, that this chapter of Psalms answers for us. And you're going to say, well, some of them seem pretty simple. I agree. But the good news is I'm going to show you the question, and then I'm going to give you the answer. So it isn't like one of those things where I give you the question and you have to go do homework, because the answer is right in God's word. So follow along with me if you would. First, we've got a simple question. We think, how should a person praise God? Verses 1 and 2 answer this really simply. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. It literally means with your guts. With all your, you ever had that coach? You go out there and play your guts out. You remember that guy? He was your coach in junior high, probably. He yelled at you a lot, right? Play your guts out. It literally means to give everything that you have. How should a person praise God? With everything that they have. And that's not this. Bless the Lord, oh my Lord. That's not with all you have. Is that all you have? No. It's not all you have, right? So David says to us to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Everything I've got. Church, it's a call to us. How should a person praise God? With everything that he has. He's not calling us to a mindless, superficial act of just doing something to do something. And that's not at all what he's saying. He's saying to worship God with your heart, your soul, and your strength. And let me challenge you, why is this important for us? Because if we're to worship God with all we have, that involves all of us. And sometimes we can come to worship and we can leave our mind at home, okay? We can leave our spirit at home and only parts of us kind of gather in the room because we're so distracted by everything else that's going on around us. But I'll tell you what, you can't miss in verses 1 through 3 the word all. It appears a lot of times in there. And all that is within me, because of all that God has done. If God has done all of these things for me, is he not worthy of all of my affection and all of my attention and all that is within me? And what's the danger of not doing that? Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus said, there are people who honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Do you understand that we call to worship God with all that is within us? Second question, why? Why should a person praise God? Why should you praise God? Well, the Bible's full of answers, but the psalm here has a few that I want us to look at in verse 3 specifically. He forgives all your sin. Stop. There you go. Why should we worship God? He has healed and forgiven our iniquity. Is that not enough, church, to stop and give him all that is within you? Is that not enough for us to give up time and attention to a God who has forgiven our sin? Listen, you've got great gifts from God, homes, jobs, cars, children, what all these things, but Jesus even warned us, Mark chapter 8, what does it benefit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Why should a person praise God? Because he forgives sin. And if you're in Christ, he has forgiven your sin. And that is reason to stop and praise. How many of our sins does it say in verse 3? There's that word again. Who forgives all of our sin? All of our iniquity. How far? Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west. I'll not sing the Casting Crown song for you, but maybe you know it. It comes to my head every time I say that verse, and I want to sing it, but I'm going to spare you that today, okay? As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Guys, you ever thought about that on a globe? Why it says that? If I take off walking east, and I walk east, assuming I can walk across the ocean, which I cannot. If I walked east, do you realize I would never stop walking east? Now, why didn't it say as far as the north is from the south? If I walk north to the North Pole and saw Santa, I would turn and go south, wouldn't I? Do you understand that? I would turn when I got to the top and go south. But as far as the east is from the west, that's far. You understand the depths of how far God has removed his transgressions from us? It's a beautiful picture, isn't it, of how he has taken away our sin. Verse 3 also talks about healing our diseases. You got to be careful here. I don't want to preach bad theology, but I also don't want to say that God cannot heal diseases, because he certainly can. But do God's people get sick? Yes. Does the Bible say that some people get sick and they do that to glorify and honor God in some way? Yes, it's there. So you can't take this verse and take it by itself and say that nobody's ever going to get sick. It's bad theology, okay? But I'm going to tell you what, when God heals diseases, realize it's God who does the healing. And we glory and honor him because he is the one. We praise him because he is the one who gives healing. He takes away our diseases. Now, his timing in doing that is different sometimes than his timing that we would like, but we must trust in his sovereignty and his plan. Verse 4 says he redeems our life from the pit. And I'll tell you, I told the first service, this is the Star Wars nerd in me coming out. Sorry. Every time I think about God redeeming me from the pit, I think about when Jabba the Hutt has them all captured and they're standing over the pit and sorry if you hadn't seen it. Does everybody know what I'm, most people know what I'm talking about? Okay, thank you. Five people know what I'm talking about. Wonderful. I know it's a Star Wars reference, but I can't think of anything else. When I think of the pit, I think of that. Those guys standing there. He rescued me from certain death. He rescued me out of the pit and brought me to life. Man, what a beautiful picture. And then he crowns me with steadfast love and mercy. Amen. Verse 5 says we're satisfied. We're satisfied with his goodness. I got to move on. Here we go. Third, what is God like that we should praise him? This is the bulk of the chapter, so I want to spend a good amount of time here. What is God like that we should praise him? This chapter is full of adjectives and descriptive words of God and reminders to us of who he is and what he has done. And what I want you to see, and I can't read through every bit of it, that this is an elaboration of the truth that God is what verse 8 says he is. It's kind of the key verse of this chapter. And that is, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Church, he does not do to us what our sins call for. He does not punish us in the way that we deserve to be punished. You just got to drink this in, if you will, all of the richness of God in all of these descriptions of him. Again, you could look through every one of them, and every one of them may speak to you differently. Moses shows up in verse 7. It says there that he made known his ways to Moses. You remember the story of Moses? When Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the tablets from the Lord after he had broken the first set, and he asked God to see God's face. And God told Moses that he couldn't see his face because no person could see the face of God and live. But he placed Moses on the mountain and covered him with his hand and passed by him. And let's look at Exodus chapter 34. It'll be here on the screen. It says, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.'" Does that sound familiar? Did we just read that in Psalm chapter 103? We can skip verse 7, Marcus. Sorry, I meant to take that out. This statement from Exodus is quoted over and over again in the New Testament. Quoted over and over again in the Old Testament because it answers the question, who is God? Who is God? And what is God like that we should praise him? The prophet Jonah, the prophet Joel, Nehemiah, all throughout the Psalms, this description of God is used. God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Folks, go read the Old Testament. Did the nation of Israel deserve God's slowness to anger and richness in mercy? They did not always certainly deserve that, did they? Yet they received it. Because that is what God is like. He abounds in love. Verse 13 also tells us that God is like a father who shows compassion to his children. So the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. You might have also mentioned, as we read through in verses 15 and 16, the shortness of time that man has on this earth, which takes us back to Psalm 90 last week, where we talked about a day and 1,000 years in God's sight. Yet God is eternal and redeems us. Last question, number 4, who should praise God? We might expect the answer to be, well, it's those who have been taken from the pit. It's those who have been saved. It's those who have been redeemed. And yes, that's true, and we'll come to that here in just a moment. But God is also so great that nothing but the praise of all creation will do. Look at verse 20 through 22. He mentions angels. He mentions all his host. He mentions all his works, all of creation. You see, all the final praises here in the book mention and echo back to, not only will those who have been redeemed cry out and worship God, but even all of creation will give him praise. They expand on the simple start that David gives and grows into this global idea of what it means to worship a merciful God. Again, 4 questions answered by this text. There's so much more in here. I want to encourage you not to just listen to this and lay this aside. I, you can meditate on this verse this week. It is these verses. It's a beautiful chapter and a reminder for us. But I'd like to turn to the close and ask you two personal questions. And you won't answer this one out loud, or I won't even put this on the screen. These are for you to answer. Because when you come to this text, when you come to these verses about praise, two questions come to mind. And the first one is for those who would say they are Christian. If you say, I am a Christian, I have Jesus Christ as my Savior, then the question for you is there in your heart real praise for God? Is there in your heart real praise? Or is church and worship just something that you do out of routine? Folks, one of the greatest damages that we can do to our church is just to show up and just be here. Don't get me wrong, I like to see you. But God didn't desire for us to just hold down the seat that you're sitting in. He desires for us to worship Him. And so the question for those of us who are in Christ is there real praise in our heart for Christ? Because let me tell you, maybe we need to talk to ourselves like David, right? Maybe we need to, before we walk into a time of worship, maybe we need to talk to ourselves and say, God, You have saved me. You have given me good gifts. You brought me from death to life. Let me go into the sanctuary today and praise You simply because of what You've done for me. Is He worth it? Amen. You bet He's worth it. Is He worth our time? Is He worth our attention? Certainly so. So maybe today a little self-talk is what you need. The second question is for those who would say, I am struggling with whether or not I am in Christ, whether or not I am a Christian. Nobody knows the answer to that but you and God. And so today, internally, you may ask yourself, the question for you is, can you truly have a share in all of these blessings? And the answer is, if you first glance at this, you might think, well, these blessings are for everyone. But you can't miss the fact that in these verses, especially verses 17 and 18, this love and these blessings are bestowed on those who fear Him and those who keep His covenant and do His commandments. These are for the children of God. These were for the children of Israel at His time. Now, don't get me wrong, God blesses who He wants to bless. But if you want to fully experience the mercy and the grace of God, then you must be one of His children. Now, the good news for you is, church, today, you don't have to offer any sacrifices. You don't have to fulfill any requirements of the law. Because we celebrated at the table the One who fulfilled the obligations for sin, who gave His body and spilt His blood so that you can have a relationship with the Father. And so today, you can partake in all of God's mercy and all of God's blessings because of the cross of Jesus Christ. You can say yes to Him. You can say yes to Christ. And leave here today as a full participant in all the blessings that He has for you. So in just a minute, we're going to stand up and we're going to sing, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're in Christ, I need you to knock me over with your singing, okay? Because you can sing that today, can't you? I want to be able to hear, even if it's bad, I don't care. I will not judge you. I want you to sing like you mean it. And if today you need a Savior, then listen, run up here. Run to the prayer partners. Come up here and talk to me. And then you can walk out of here and knock somebody else down with your singing. All right? You can say, bless the Lord. oh my soul. What a beautiful, beautiful truth of Scripture that we read today. Let's bow together for just a moment. Again, the Holy Spirit speaks to everyone in different ways, but I'll remind you of the simple truth of John 3:16. Yeah, you've heard it before, but I'm going to tell you, it's a powerful reminder that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would have everlasting, eternal life. Man, what a beautiful truth. What a beautiful promise. If you're a Christian, you rest in that today and you sing, "Bless the Lord." If you're not, then I pray today might be the day of salvation. You would allow the Holy Spirit to convict you today. It's certainly not going to be by any words that I've said, but may the Spirit have freedom to convict and to reign in this place. So we're going to stand here in just a moment. Again, I want you to sing at church. Worship him. If you need to make a decision, if you want to come pray, hey, listen, come on and do that right now. We invite you to do that. Father, you're good. Your love endures for us forever. As far as the east is from the west, for those of us in Christ, you have forgiven our sins. We walk in here today not in defeat. Not in defeat, God, but surrounded and empowered by the God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Thank you for saving me. God, thank you for bringing me out of the pit. Forgive me when I don't worship you with all that is within me. May you be glorified by your church today as we stand and sing. In Jesus' name.